This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, rolling into the 4 o'clock hour. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down in Peoria. Padres are idle today. And Matt Scraby, thanks again to Kim Villalobos and Megan Fizzo. On the women's basketball team, Aztecs heading down to LSU tomorrow.
I said girls. I meant to say ladies.
Ladies? I don't think that they're good.
I didn't feel good about that.
Oh, that's okay. I'll be all right. You'll be all right. You know what? Scraby was concerned the whole time.
What?
Because Kim was. Well, I'm gonna tell you. Because,
oh yes.
Because the last time Kim was on the radio, remember Scraby put the wrong picture on the YouTube chat.
Oh yes.
I googled her name and that picture came up. Okay.
He put the wrong picture up, and he's like, "Should I apologize when she comes in?"
I really did want to,
and I said,
"But I'm the guy who brings stuff up that doesn't need to be brought up."
Yeah, that didn't need to be
right. That she may not even have noticed or anything like that.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't say a word, but I felt awkward the entire time. She's like, "I'm thinking." She's like, "Oh, that's the guy who put up the wrong picture." Before we leave here, I'm going to punch him.
Pretty sure she's not thinking that, so you're okay, Scrape.
They're really nice. All the Aztec women that we've had on this year have been incredible when they've come on the show.
They've done a great job, for sure.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
All right, we're going to put a little Chris versus the fans here. Chance for you to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas and win some Alanis Morissette tickets. Two tickets to Alanis. She's performing at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace on October 24th. Yeah, I don't know. Sounded good, Alanis. two-night stay from October 23rd to the 25th across the street at the Flamingo Hotel and Casino, plus a $100 gas card. Chris versus the fans brought to you by Good Guys 24th. Maguire's Del Mar Nationals, April 4th through the 6th at Del Mar Fairgrounds. Get details at good-guys.com. Call in 833-288-0973 while we get started.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you'll get that question for free today. All right, let me put these people on hold, and then we will get going. Let's go to our first contestant of the day. So much power over this. Antonio. Hello, Antonio.
Hi, Antonio.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. Welcome to it.
Also, and I'm a first-time player.
First-time player. And he said that with very good flair.
Gusto.
We got to get this together. That was off. Wasn't any
okay. We misfired.
That was off.
Okay.
We misfired bad. All right, let's go. Second question. Looking a little thin there, Scrape. Looking a little thin.
Oh, thank you. I've been working out.
Who scored the most points for the Aztecs last night?
I don't know his name. I know he's like 7 foot, but... Yeah, don't know his name.
Don't know his name.
know his name. Incorrect.
I don't know. Did anybody score for the Aztecs last night?
I don't think so.
I guess it was Magoon Gwath. I don't know.
Magoon Gwath.
Well, how about that?
Oh,
there was a
Nick
tie.
Boyd
and
was
Wayne
the
McKinney.
Answer.
Or Wayne. Oh, it was Nick Boyd.
One of those two.
Yes,
yeah. And Wayne McKinney. So either
points.
One of those would have been correct.
Correct, yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Well, that's good news for you, Antonio.
Yeah.
You moved to the finals. Yeah, I stopped keeping track of Aztec points when they stopped scoring them.
Don't blame you.
Hopefully, yeah. This is the only guy that gets to a question number three.
I hate you, Tony.
What rookie? What rookie did Connor Joe say was the ultimate pro last season? Oh my gosh. This is a question three.
Jackson Merrill.
Jackson Merrill.
Is that kind of true, guys?
No. Yeah, he was all in about Paul Skeens because they were teammates last year. Sorry about that, Antonio. Well done, though. Good having you on the program.
He lets you off the hook there, Scrape.
Why?
You better get to writing, though.
Oh, I'm getting to writing as soon as we... You know, you would think at this point in time in the show, 5 years later, I'd remember that we have this segment and I need questions. So let's go to Eric in San Diego. Hello, Eric.
Eric in SD. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, good, Eric. Pretty
it's good. Going well, Eric. Here we go. First question. What is the nickname for the famous NFL play that involved the New York Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez running full speed into the rear end of a teammate?
That would be from the butt fumble. So I guess it's butt fumbler.
Yeah,
yes.
Very good.
It is indeed the butt fumble. All right. Question number two.
I think Mark Sanchez hates that more than anything on earth.
No, he seems like a guy who embraces it.
Because I hear him all the time. Whenever somebody else makes kind of a silly play, they show his play. And so he's like over it by now, you know? But
yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't like that play very much for sure.
No.
All right. Question number two. What was the first Major League Baseball stadium to use the old school AstroTurf?
All right.
This is right in Chris's alley right here.
I'm just going to take a guess here and say the Houston Astros.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you got to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
The Astrodome.
Yeah, the Astrodome invented AstroTurf. Yeah,
now,
exactly right.
I played a Pop Warner game on AstroTurf, and I ended up scraping the entirety of my arm.
It'll take every piece of skin off of that.
Oh,
exposed.
My goodness. AstroTurf is brutal.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Yeah.
Do you remember those white stripes that Randy Moss wore?
Yeah.
That was to prevent turf burn.
It's crazy how bad that stuff was. And it was on a slab of concrete. There was no cushion.
I know. I think it took him a few years to go, hey, maybe we should put a little cushion in.
It was like literally just a carpet cement.
First of all, it took more than a few years. It took like 20 years before they said, maybe it's not good for us
to play right on the concrete.
Now, Major League Baseball, how much faster are those balls coming?
Oh, my gosh. I was just getting ready to say, I will say for a fast guy, turf is like the greatest thing ever. I played three collegiate games on like old school turf in Minnesota at the Metrodome with San Diego State. And I had at least four infield singles that weekend, just putting it on the ground and running. It was a lot of fun.
Well, the St. Louis Cardinals went to three World Series doing that in the 1980s. Yeah. They had the fastest team ever.
Your knees pay a price for it eventually, running on that stuff. But I'm just saying, it's fun for fast guys.
And good job by you, Eric, because they had to invent the AstroTurf because when there was the first covered building for baseball, they couldn't get the grass to grow without the sun. They now figured out how to do that, but... Then they did not know. Yeah, kind of. So that's why AstroTurf was invented. Good job by you.
Diamondback said, forget it. We're going to turf.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Question number three. This is an.
Yes.
Who
good one.
Was sacked the most in the NFL last season?
Oh man, I played Chris versus the Fans one other time, and I got the same exact question, but it was only halfway into the season.
Wow.
At the time, it was Deshaun Watson, but I know that's probably not right. I'm just going to say, let's say C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud.
He was on his back quite a bit.
Stay there.
Not the answer, though.
I think I have an intelligent guess. I don't know that it's correct. Because he gets sacked a lot. Caleb Williams.
Sorry, man. Sorry, you played Eric. The game so well, Eric.
You were good, Eric. Thank you, sir. Come right. back
By
again. Don't
way,
wait so long next time.
What are the chances that he got the same exact question?
Astronomical.
In the same exact spot.
Astronomical.
That's crazy.
That is
that
insane.
That is crazy.
I have to
yeah,
say.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true for sure.
All right. Next
All right,
contestant. Let's go
right
to Alan. Hello,
Hi,
Alan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Alan. Good.
It's going
good.
Well, my friend. Here we go. First question. Where is the Baseball Hall of Fame? Let's try it again. Where is the Baseball Hall of Fame and National Museum located?
Nice questions, Scrape.
Ooh. Contestants taking exception with your question.
Sorry that you don't know one of the easiest questions we've ever asked.
Yeah, Chris, I have no idea. Guys.
You have no idea? Okay.
Sorry you don't know the answer to the easiest question I've ever asked.
Well, he came at me.
Yes, he did. Cooperstown. I can't talk anymore, but that's the answer.
Oh, that was funny. That was funny.
Sorry about that.
That question hit a nerve right there.
It really did.
Hit a nerve. Scrappy's like,
don't ask the next question, Tony, because we don't know what's going to happen. All right.
We need a new contestant.
Let's go with John is what it says on my screener. Hello, John. John?
John, are you there?
Last three numbers, 893. All right, we're just listening to a wind tunnel. Let's go to Mark and Vista. Hello, Mark.
Mark and Vista.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, Mark.
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good.
Doing
thanks.
Well, Mark. Here we go. First question. What MLB team had a World Series drought lasting from 1908 to 2016?
Chicago Cubs.
Chicago
hey,
Cubs.
Mark, thanks for getting it right. The easiest question I've ever asked.
That's not the easiest question. Cooperstown was.
Question number two. Oh, yeah, this one hurt my heart. What NBA player infamously stepped over Tyronn Lue's downed body after draining a step-back jumper?
Allen Iverson.
Wow. Nice
I
job.
Love the way you added downed body. That was
I didn't know how else to ask it, to be honest. So I said downed body.
I don't think I would have got question. That. I didn't remember
really?
That.
Yeah, that's almost as bad as when Eddie House slapped Ray Frost in the back of his head and made his headband spin around his head a few times.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. All right, here we go. Question number two. Scrabies, he's struggling with these questions. Number three. Here we go. Who had the most interceptions in the NFL last season?
Defensive player.
I would
hope so. It's interceptions.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, man. I'm not even going to guess, but I don't want to give Chris any options. I'm going to go blank on this one.
He's playing
smart man,
the game.
Smart man.
Playing the game.
Strategy. I'm struggling to name a defensive back. So, I there's a couple guys that are kind of going through my head because I think I remember hearing about them, but I don't know any of their names. So I'll just say somebody that I know is wrong. Because he sucked last year for all the money they gave Jalen Ramsey.
Oh.
That's my guess. Ah, Mark, you're the winner.
Mark is the winner.
Very good.
Stay there, Mark.
The answer was Kirby Joseph.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I could have guessed for a month.
Do you know who he plays for?
Lions?
Yeah. Falcons, right?
No, Lions.
Lions. So I got that.
You did.
Kirby Joseph. Very good. How many did he have? Do you know, Scream?
Oh, I have it right here.
Seven, eight?
He had nine.
Nine?
Nine picks last year.
All right, that's a lot, actually.
Yeah.
All right, very good, Mark.
That's
Vista?
A lot.
Is that who it was?
Yes.
Or Mark and Sand? There's a couple Marks there.
No, it was Mark and Vista.
All right, Mark, you're the winner. Stay on the line. You could be going to Alanis Morissette. A good, lively game today, guys.
Yeah.
And it's been that kind of day. More of it to come after traffic on Gwen and Chris.
4:22 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Ello. We are having a good time on this off day. No baseball. It'll be back on tomorrow. You know, we are at that time of the season. Only what? See, today's Wednesday, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, five games of spring training left before heading home and having a couple off days and the real thing, jumping off on, what is that, Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday the 27th, I believe.
We are, we're 8 days.
Yeah.
And like Tony, how is Mike Shilton, AJ Preller, and whoever going to decide who's going to make the team? I mean, it's so
good,
crazy.
Good question.
And we're running out of time.
Question.
Like, there's not really a lot of separation. I mean, unless you want to, you know, Gavin Sheets maybe, but everyone else is just kind of contributing nicely. It's, you know, there's nobody that's being left out.
I think the good thing is whatever order makes it, you know, you got some guys you feel like might be able to do something if things change, right?
Yeah, right.
You're going to hopefully be able to either get through waivers or somehow get into your minor league system so that you have some depth there. So it looks that way, honestly, on the pitching side, too. Even if you misses his first start, you know, due to this inflammation, and not you, Chris, but you, Darvish.
I didn't know I was in line to make a start, but I appreciate it, Tony.
Not after talking to Ruben Niebla this week.
Ruben wanted no part of me, huh? He's like,
he was like, oh, wait, you only threw 80?
Yeah.
There's
nothing I could do for you.
You know, there's a Little League coach down the street that can probably
whisper or not, I can't help you there.
No, I can't help.
No, I just think that there's going to end up being some depth, you know, on both sides. So I don't know how, that's a good question. I don't know. There's been no separation for any of the spots, I don't think.
I know. Really?
And so that's a good problem to have, though. It'd be different if, like, everybody was, like, stinking the joint up and you were having to pick from that. Like, we would be all, everybody would, like, be holding their nose to do it.
You
want to
hear something funny? Tony, sorry to interrupt. I shouldn't have jumped in so quickly. Yesterday, Scraby and I were out on the patio. It was about 5 o'clock, maybe, 5:15, Scraby.
Oh, yes.
Pretty much everybody had gone home.
Oh, no.
And I'm facing toward the parking lot. Scraby's facing toward the locker room.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And we're talking.
Uh-oh.
Austin Adams walked by. And
no,
he was like,
this wasn't an Austin.
You were here 3 years ago.
That's not Austin Adams. Don't throw us off the scent of this story.
Sorry.
So we're sitting there talking about who is going to, you know, what they're going to do because Yu Darvish has some inflammation in his elbow. And I say, loudly, I always do.
Loudly.
Yeah. Well, we're good with Cease. We're good with King. You know, I think we're good with Pivetta. I said, but the other two are really big question marks. And I'm like, I mean, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Vasquez? Is it going to be Waldron?
And the whole time I'm like, hey, hold, like.
And Scraby starts pointing.
Stop,
I'm talking.
Stop.
And this is what I'm doing in my head.
Yeah,
stop.
Yeah. I'm like, is it Waldron? Is it Vasquez? Are you going to go with Steven Kolick?
You going to go with Wes Benjamin?
No, I didn't say Wes Benjamin. But just as I finish saying, a 6'5" kid walks past me with his arm up, pointing at himself.
Yeah.
And luckily, Scraby guy goes, Or Kyle Hart.
He's going to get in that rotation, and he was, like, raising his hands.
It was. Kyle Hart was walking by as I was discussing who should get that spot.
Yeah. I was just praying you didn't say anything like, oh, I don't think Kyle Hart's good.
Anybody but Kyle Hart.
I would have stopped you. I would have stood up, and I would have stopped you.
Scraby goes, who's the number five guy? Well, anybody but Kyle Hart.
Yeah,
it can't be him.
Like, I was panicked when we were talking about pitching at the moment, too.
First of all, Scraby, great save.
Yeah,
great
he saved it.
Great save for your partner. But, Chris, I hope you do know. In the back of his mind, he knows that you did not consider him in the group that you were named.
I know. He's going to know.
It's going to be in his head the whole
and
time.
And he may remember me if he runs into me later this season.
Like, that kid believed in me. That guy didn't.
That guy right there didn't believe in me at all.
Yeah. That is too funny. I'm actually glad that I was gone by that point.
It was embarrassing to all concerned, and luckily you were not concerned.
That is the danger of doing a show at the Padres.
It is. Training
facility
with your back to the locker room.
Yeah,
I think next time we'll switch spots.
Oh, Chris, no.
Yeah,
no. Kyle Hart's gonna make the rotation because, like, he is.
I looked over, I'm like, oh yeah, for sure, Kyle Hart. Yeah,
I love that he pointed to himself like, yo, don't forget about me as he's walking by. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, we should add this just for fun. While we were playing Chris versus the fans yesterday, we got to the final question. Scraby asked the question. Jason Hayward walked by and he answered it.
Yeah, he did.
Jason Hayward had the answer.
He did.
So he got
Kylian Mbappe. And then he goes, I think you got the money wrong, too.
Yeah, he thought Scraby had a factual error in the question.
Well, welcome to our show, Jason.
And I said, Jason, this is normal for Scraby.
Yeah, we had a good through all the videos of us having those guys walk by us.
I think Jason Hayward gets to go to the Atlantis concert potentially. You know, if his name is drawn.
I think we did yell that at him yesterday, and he just kept walking. He was like, all right, these guys are weird.
So we had a couple of crazy moments while you were gone.
Real quick, before we go to break, I do want to get off my partner, my guy, Scottie Scheffler, his menu for the Masters. You know, the guy I helped grow to where he's at now.
There's no argument here. Nobody's arguing this.
Yeah, no, so he has come up with his menu. I might say his menus. He's got some slappers on there for sure. He's got the firecracker shrimp. He's got cheeseburger sliders.
Oh yes.
Served Scotty style, whatever that may be.
I don't want Scotty style. Sorry.
Papa Chef's meatball and ravioli bites. I like. See, this is a Midwest guy. This is Midwest flavor right here that he's giving off.
It's all over.
Texas style chili. It's got cheddar cheese, jalapeno, corn chips, and then main course. This is where, you know, this is Midwest.
Serious.
Wood fire cowboy ribeye.
Sounds pretty good. I got to be honest with you. I'm not eating the sliders. That's going to ruin your menu, your appetite.
You're not. You might be a little too full at that point, right?
Right.
Or you can get the black and red fish. It'll be served with family-style macaroni and cheese. This guy, you know, Scotty likes the spice, man. Jalapeno cream corned.
Ooh.
Soy glazed Brussels sprouts.
Whoa.
And chipotle lime roasted sweet potatoes.
Are we thinking Scotty Scheffler sat down one night and kind of mapped all this out? Or do you think his team kind of contributed?
I've wondered this.
This seems like something, having heard some interviews and him talk about food, this seems like something he would be in on.
I do think the players take it very seriously because they basically get to choose what everyone eats. So they want to make sure that they outdo someone or they have the right choices.
Or if you're Fuzzy Zeller.
You knew where I was going.
You know, nobody even knew that the champions...
He was concerned.
Was this the fried chicken thing?
Yes, it was the fried chicken one.
He was concerned that he was going to get some fried chicken.
Yeah, he there was
and who was delivery or who was the dinner for that night?
No, I think it was Tiger Woods putting the menu together.
Tiger Woods, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's bad.
Yeah, it was not good timing by Fuzzy Zeller, and I don't think anybody even knew that the champion did a dinner until Fuzzy misspoke.
No
and
idea.
And then everybody was in on it.
He misspoke or he stepped in it?
He basically was...
He didn't misspoke.
Yeah, he basically was just flat-out racist. Let's just be honest. That's what it was, Fuzzy. Sorry.
Dominic says, Scotty didn't have a menu like that in jail. No, he did not.
Ooh.
No,
he did not.
Don't
hey,
be.
But here's, we can't forget the best part of the menu. And this is, you know, another thumbs up for him. A warm chocolate chip skillet cookie. You know, the joints that are in the little skillet?
Yeah,
man.
My mouth is watering.
Vanilla ice cream
right
on top.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
Man.
All right, let's get to break. We've reminisced. I mean,
now I'm hungry.
We've got our appetites rolling now at this point. Big Five on the way. Shrabie's got some doozies in here as we get ready for this next segment. We're going to Chris on the other side.
Welcome back, Gwen and Chris, with you. 4:37 is the time. It's been a lively show today.
We
got out of the got all of our Aztec anger out of the way early, and then kind of has settled in here and had some fun. Scraby and Tony had a classic, fantabulous sports game show today. That one went right down to OT. And before, of course, Tony prevailed, which isn't a surprise, but it was fun.
Wait.
We had the...
Did you want to add the part where you screwed me over and made me think I had two strikes, and so it changed my game a little bit?
He gave you your point back.
Yeah, but it changed my game
back,
because now I had to guess certain guys over other guys because it would have eliminated me. So, if this happened to Chris, he would never let me forget about it. I think Chris just...
Yeah, I did. So I don't want to hear you.
I'm out.
He just clicked out of the camera.
I didn't just click off the camera. I clicked off everything that I'm on by mistake. So let's move on to some traffic in today's Big Five while I get reorganized here.
I'm stunned.
Sorry.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. The Big Five. Let's get started with something that is very, very sad, happy, all the emotions.
Number five.
And that would be Uncle Teddy. He has broadcasted his final game last night. Not the game that he wanted to go out with.
Sorry to interrupt. But
yeah, what's up?
He has broadcast his final game.
It's not
I'm just trying to save you from the wrath of your... mother, who understands that your grammar is poor.
It's not... Did you find anything wrong with my sentence, Tony? I'm not denying it, but...
I'm going to be lying. I wasn't really... I'm not going to lie. I wasn't even really listening to you, so...
So isn't...
I don't know.
But you said... I said broadcasted, but isn't that the past tense of the word broadcast?
Not in this instance.
How?
He broadcast his final game. I don't know.
Here's what I said. Uncle Teddy, Ted Leitner, broadcasted his final game last night.
Yeah, no, I think he knows what you said the first time. I think he's saying that it's wrong.
I'm not saying that he's wrong. I just didn't know that. Okay, let's move on. Uncle Teddy was on the Padres radio broadcast for 41 years and Aztecs basketball and football for nearly 30 years each. Chris, what do you think about Ted Leitner's, or I wrote this question really weird. What is Ted Leitner's legacy here in San Diego?
Beyond just the summation of it, which is that he's everybody's favorite Uncle Teddy. He's synonymous with sports in this town. And he's not only synonymous with it, he's synonymous with it for... not one decade or two or three. How about four decades?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just an incredible, illustrious career that is going to be, stand the test of time. I think everyone's going to always think back, to what they when they saw Ted, whether it was doing a new Channel 8 newscast is the one that stands out to me because he was so funny and so entertaining and so good. But, you know, all the games that he's broadcast, Ted, as you would say. No, just an incredible legacy. I don't have enough time to think of the right words to say. Because honestly, I really want to do a better job of describing it, and I might need another minute to come up with something to, you know, make it what it's worth being.
Is that your way of saying you don't want to try harder?
No. It's my way of saying I want to pay tribute to Ted the right way. That's what I'm saying.
Right. What was the question again, Scrape?
What do you think Ted Leitner's legacy is in San Diego?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with the greatest voice in San Diego history, for sure. I think that's where it starts. But that would, like Chris is saying, it would probably be short-sighted to just end it there. He was doing things that no one's doing now. I mean, he was doing the news. He was doing, you know,
radio show,
baseball game, the radio show. I mean, this is. I would have to think deeper, but I would say that it starts with greatest voice ever here in San Diego.
And on a negative side, I want to say thanks, Ted, for hogging all of the jobs and not letting any of us have anything else
to do out there. Hey, Chris.
Here's a concept. Fight me.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, right, Tony? He had everything. I mean, how great he was. There was nothing left for the rest of us, Ted.
Unfortunately, my mom texted me.
And?
That Chris is right.
I was right.
Four.
Thank you, Mom. That's
of course, better. I knew. I mean, she does. This is right around the time better. She comes home from school, so figured it was going to happen at some point. all right. UCLA's basketball head coach Mick Cronin is almost a must-see post-game press conference lately. After losing to Wisconsin the other night, Mick Cronin was not happy about the delay of the presser, and this is how the presser started. For UCLA and Mick Cronin. Now, there's no video because it's not really that big of a deal, but you'll hear what he has to say.
You know the game ended 32 minutes ago? The game ended 32 minutes ago? 32 minutes ago, the game ended. We couldn't expedite this a little better? I don't have an opening statement.
That was Mick Cronin.
We couldn't have expedited this a little better.
I think he's yelling at the wrong person. He's just yelling at the guy who's trying to direct traffic. But fans point out that Mick Cronin constantly makes excuses and throws temper tantrums after losses and is over-the-top happy after wins, which I think is every coach. They want more of an even keel from their coach. Tony, do you think Mick Cronin could be classified as a jerk?
No, I think that's all of that's not true. I don't think that he's over the top when they win. He's very critical of his team when they lose. I don't hear him making excuses. I hear him putting it on the team and you know, what they got going. I think this is the other thing. You're not supposed to be a good loser. You know what I'm saying? Like 32 minutes after may not seem long, but usually those pressers happen pretty quick. Just think about Mike Schill. As soon as the game's over, win or lose, that happens relatively quick. It's not can you imagine if they made Mike wait 32 minutes? Y'all might not hear from him. He might just say, I'm out.
I'm like, trying to think of what would have caused that other than the fact that maybe there was another presser.
Either way,
happening.
I think to your point, though, it's not that big a deal, but the fact that they lost, he had to wait around. He was stewing in it, clearly. I don't see this as just a kind of a blip on the radar. Pop Mike caught him just kind of being a little salty about his loss. And by the way, you said he was yelling. He wasn't yelling. Those were just stern questions.
He was pretty relaxed, actually. Yeah.
When did I say he was yelling?
You said he was yelling.
Okay.
You said he's yelling at the wrong guy, is what you said.
Oh, you're right. I did say that. I don't like his face, though, when he's like, you kind of have expedited this a little bit faster. Chris,
Al, you know, I'm on the other side, right? I'm in the media room. waiting for coaches my whole career.
So can he be classified as a jerk?
So when they passed the mic over to me, I think it would be hilarious if just one time I had said to Pat Riley, it's been 32 minutes, Pat, since the game's been over. Do you think you could have expedited this a little bit?
I wouldn't
so
want to be in that room.
I do see that side of it as well, but ultimately, I think my final take on Mick Cronin is I'm starting to find him entertaining, and I'm also starting to go with this notion that we ask these people to be honest with us and not give us the same old boring crap. Mick Cronin certainly is not giving
us logistics.
It isn't. You can get a press conference organized in faster than 32 minutes. He's calling people out saying do a better job.
Tournament. There's a lot of teams playing. There's a ton of things going on.
This is in the Big Ten tournament, too? So you guys, they've already been doing this for like 3 days.
Let me tell you something. I know how the tournaments work. And the game is over. The winning team goes first. Now, he was the losing team, right? So he was that's probably why I had to wait a little longer. But I don't know. I'm all right with Mick.
All right. Wow. I'm shocked.
I don't mind,
by this.
Man. Put people on notice. Do your job better out there.
I don't know
there.
Why we're celebrating bad behavior.
Because
that's, that's not bad behavior. What is bad about that?
I don't like it that he took it out on the guy who was just in the room.
I think it's funny.
First of all, I can't see the video. Do you see who he's talking to?
He's off screen. But you can hear after the first one, he goes, the guy asked him, like, what was that? He goes, you couldn't have expedited this any faster.
That doesn't mean he's talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah. Who was in charge? The guy at the front.
I can just imagine if I was the guy who was just ushering people on and off the stage and Mick Cronin said that to me, I would
what a jerk. They had already been doing these press conferences for 3 days. I don't think the guy or lady changed that he was talking to. So he probably knows who it was that has been escorting him and talking to him all week.
By the way, Scraby, would you like my list of athletes / coaches who have made me wait the longest over the years?
I already know your top.
I'm going to give you my top, and it's not who you think.
I already know your top. No. Oh, it's not that one.
No, my top is Bob Tway, the former PGA golfer, who said...
Bob Tway,
who after a round at La Costa said, I need to hit, and then I'll be happy to talk to you.
Oh, that's like
and
an
went
hour.
To the range for over an hour while I sat waiting for this guy.
I waited,
Tony, which is embarrassing enough, but so that, I needed to get the story.
That's your number one. I'm not going to name what the one
time.
I thought, but you know the one I'm thinking of,
I know
of,
who
right?
you're thinking okay. of, all right. but no, not an, he didn't make us wait an hour.
Darn near close to it.
Number three.
You guys are going to be the judges of whether or not this YouTube video title is guilty of clickbaitery. ESPN posted a video titled, quote, is Caitlin Clark the greatest of all time in college basketball, end quote. The video was crushed by commenters because the host ended up not even putting her in the top five. Mainly the reason was she didn't win a national title while she was in college. So, Chris, fans thought this video pulled a fast one on them. Do you think this video is guilty of clickbaitery?
Probably, but you got to do what you got to do. Don't you? I mean, don't you, when you try to promote your video online or in Twitter, wherever, you try to pick out the thing that's likely to get people to click the most.
Yes, but you have to be within the topic of your video. You can't just put up a video
that says, I talked
to Bill Clinton, and then it's like you and your dog.
Okay, but you're
saying that the video said that
he was discussing whether Caitlin Clark was the best ever, right?
Is Caitlin Clark the greatest of all time in college basketball?
And then he answered in the video, no. Seems fair enough.
Didn't put her in the top five.
She shouldn't be in the top
five. So it's not guilty. They're not guilty of clickbaitery.
No,
Tony,
not guilty of clickbaitery here. I mean, they sold it by putting Caitlin Clark, who is probably the most popular female player right now, in on the discussion. Only to find out that they didn't have her in the top five. I don't think that is clickbaitery. I think that is just good advertising right there to get people to come to your thing. Because ultimately, they knew that they weren't going to have her in the top, or he wasn't going to have him in his top five.
You're not clicking if it says, is Maya Moore the best ever?
You're right.
Maya Moore is.
Yeah.
You're right.
For sure.
For the record, I don't think this is clickbaitery, but I think it's close. Because I think a better title would be, is Caitlin Clark in the top five best basketball players of all time, college basketball?
Clickbaitery would be your example earlier.
Of Bill Clinton and then talking to a dog?
Yeah, right. And it's just that's clickbaitery. That has nothing to do with nothing at that point.
J-Mac says, what if the dog's name was Bill Clinton? Then we're not clickbaiting, okay?
then that's legit. But that would fit more in what this headline had right here. Cleverness.
All right, you guys have kind of talked me down on that one. Number two. I was looking around for news today, and I saw an article titled, quote, best backup quarterbacks left on the free agent market, which I didn't know was a thing, but I clicked and saw that Carson Wentz was at the top of their list of backup quarterbacks. Gardner Minshew held the top spot until the Chiefs signed him, and with the Chiefs signing him, that meant Carson Wentz was out of a job as the Chiefs' backup. Tony, how much effort should a team put into a backup quarterback signing?
I think it's valuable to have a good backup on your team. How much you invest in it depends on, you know, obviously salary cap, things of that nature. But I think it's a great idea to have one. I mean, quarterbacks are the most protected. But if you don't have one, some reason, quarterbacks beat up or they have an injury where they're out for the year, you don't have a backup, it's a wrap. Like, you won't win any games. You won't even be in any games. Yeah. If you don't have a quarterback. So, yes, if you can get a good backup on top of that, that's like a cheat code.
Chris and I both had a backup quarterback on our teams playing this year, and it was awful. Chris, what do you think? How much should a team focus on a backup quarterback?
More than the Dolphins did.
Skyler Moore?
No. Well, and now, after trying Skyler Moore and was it Huntley and all these guys who couldn't throw a pass, they'd settle on Zach Wilson for next year.
That's right.
So the Dolphins continue to be the dumbest team in the sport. You need a good backup in this day and age, especially when your starter's going to get hurt at least five games like Tua is.
All right. I got one more, and it's about the Green Bay Packers. They have introduced a legislation for a tush-push rule, and they've given us the language of said rule.
He's always trying to introduce a new rule. Get out of here, Green Bay.
Hey, the Lions did a lot too. They introduced a lot.
Weren't they the one who tried to sneak attack the last? What we catch them on earlier? Green Bay was the culprit. Remember the story came.
Oh, it was about the one team who did it, and we didn't know who the team was. Anyway, we got to get going. We'll talk about that when we get back.